Thank you, Marshall. We modulating? Right on. Okay. Yeah, it's great to be here again, guys. I know that many of you have expressed to me that you look forward to this. The boys look forward to it. My boys have been talking about it for months, and so you need to know as men, older men, fathers, grandfathers, that this is important, and I really appreciate Mark's message last night that individual participation in the walking by the Spirit in Christ is greatly, vastly important. And each one of us on an individual level, fulfilling and working out our salvation with fear and trembling and walking by that Spirit, seeing ourselves as Christ has brought us to, seated with Him in heavenly places, all of that taking place is valuable, you know, valuable. We never want to not express the value of the individual, because the individual what makes up the whole, and so it's big picture, it's really good, but really important. I'm sorry, and but it's great to be here, and appreciate the opportunity to be up here to bring the word, which is something that is, you know, I know many of us have, many of the guys here, you know, we have that passion to preach and speak the word, and that's definitely something that is true with me. So I again, appreciate that. But we're in 2 Peter for our theme, this, you know, working out of 2 Peter. So if you want to turn there, chapter 1, I've got verses 5 through 10. So I want to read that first, and then we'll dive in here. So 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5, says, "Now for this very reason, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his former purification, purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble." Well, I want to start off this morning, and you fellas that are sitting up front here who can have a visual look at what I have here, ignore and don't look too closely. All right, but I want to kind of start off with, you know, the way God has worked through the history of mankind, and you see the power demonstrated that he has brought about to fulfill his purposes. I mean, how can you not realize that there is a God when you see the word, you know, when you begin to believe the word, and then you begin to study through it, and you read, and you look at the history that was laid down, and the nations that have arose and fallen and so forth. But as he has worked through history, he's given little individual pictures, right? So, you know, hey, Ryan, I give you this, you know, what, puzzle piece, right? You don't have the whole picture, though, do you? No? So that's what God would do with certain people. He would, you know, little portions at little times. Bob, you know, now, tell me the rest of the story based on what you guys have, right? Yeah. What do you think that is? What would it look like? Okay, a wall, maybe. Any ideas based on what you see?
I see a wall with a cross on it, so I'm assuming like a burial.
Okay, wall with a cross, something with the burial. Okay, this is a 3D puzzle, by the way, so if one-dimensional puzzles aren't hard enough, you can try these 3D. It's foam, you know, a foam puzzle. But yeah, you get a little snippet of information there. You don't see the big picture, right? But as always, what's already been spoken about last night is that God has supplied everything that we need for life and godliness now. Through what? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, the prophets and those of faith that have gone on before us in the, you know, in the Old Testament, in the those that lived by faith and who received little pieces, they didn't have the completed picture yet, right? Right, no. So here's what, you know, if you were to take this, and it doesn't say how many piece puzzle this is, so it's pretty large, but that's what it would look like. It's actually a castle, three-dimensional castle, right? And for any of the kids that want to put that together in a few hours, you're welcome. But because we have not tackled that at our house yet. But but the small bits of information that God provided through the history, it's been recorded for us. We live in a time where we're able to take this and see the large picture. We have been granted everything, as has been brought out, pertaining to life and godliness. And now in this text here, Peter goes on to say, you know, for this very reason that you've been given the full picture, this very reason now, you got faith in this. You begin to believe the message that God has laid down throughout the world history. You begin to place your faith in that. And, you know, faith is really, what are you going to do with what you know? It's action, okay? So Peter's saying, you begin to realize the truths of the Word of God and come to Him and gaining this knowledge, excuse me, into the truth of the Word. Now for this reason, very reason, let's continue with applying all diligence. Now the word diligence in the original language brings forth the idea that you do this with everything you have. Every bit of your being is put into this. This isn't like something that you add on. It's not a side dish at the restaurant that you order and just, you know, partake a little bit of. This isn't just something to add on into our life. No, this is our life, right? This is who we are. And the excitement, Brother Benoit, man, he gets fired up, right? You know? That fires me up, the encouragement we draw from one another. But this is our life now. The former life and the relatives that we had growing up, and even though, you know, maybe we gleaned some wisdom from them, earthly wisdom and some knowledge, that's great. But we've abandoned the worldview that we once had because now it's been changed. And it's reforming in Christ through the knowledge of Him, right? So applying all diligence, you're all in or you're not. Now that can be a learned growth perspective, but it's the realization is, guys, the Word of God is bringing out pretty clear, this isn't a part and parcel thing that we do. This is going to take everything we got to achieve it through the power in the power of Christ in us. But all diligence is careful, persistent work. How many times does the Apostle Paul talk about what he did as far as spreading the gospel as work? The work, you know? And through the book of Acts, you can see that that was brought out. You know, he brings that out several times in the epistles. You know, the work that he undertook in spreading the gospel and the concern that he had for the well-being of the saints in the churches, he expresses so many times. But careful, persistent work or effort, steady as she goes, earnest, honest, energetic effort, painstaking work, right? And it does, this is what it will take that to develop into that the image and character of Christ, right? So all diligence. It also brings out the idea that to superabound, we have been given everything needed, required for life and godliness. When I look at that, I come from a hands-on power tools, chainsaw, heavy equipment running kind of background. At my dad, you know, growing up around that, knuckle busting, greasy, you know, you get in, you fix it, you know, duct tape, wire, whatever it is, farmer kind of thing, and it works. Somehow you make it work. I've seen them rebuild motors and make a head gasket out of a Cheerios box or something. You know, you use the paper gasket, all those sorts of things, you know. But the idea here that I wanted to bring out is that imagine having a shed or a garage full of every tool worldly imaginable that you've been supplied with, Now, as I grew up, there were tools that Dad had. I'm like, what in the world does this do? Special application, you know, to hone a cylinder wall out. There's this little wire brush thing with these little bead balls on it. You know, you can clean up a cylinder wall with a drill. You know, you clean it out. You know, now, you know, I can rebuild the head on vehicles. I've done valve jobs and things like that on vehicles to get them, and they're still running. My father-in-law's vehicle, I rebuilt that for him, you know, out of his garage, little shed. And, you know, I value those things, but if you were given every tool in the earthly imaginable, but you don't know what it's for, right? You have to, well, God, in a sense, has done that for us. He's given everything that we need. You open the shed doors, picture here, get this in your, and there's everything you need. Now it's time to figure out how to use it. All right, so diligence, applied, persistent effort and work, putting these things to practice. All of my years since the age of 3, when Mom and Dad were immersed into Christ, sermon after sermon, message after message, assembly after assembly time, Lord's Day twice, Wednesday evening, everything else, the camps, the extra things, all the sermons that I have heard preached by various men from various places on this globe, various backgrounds, one common theme that generally arose that I was thinking about this, one common thing that I see that across the board, you know, whether these people that were preaching were had the complete message, the gospel of glory or not, but one major reoccurring common theme in those messages that I would say was motivation. Motivation. Motivating people to move forward in faith. Why? Why is that a constant theme? No, it wasn't necessarily about money. You know, the common theme wasn't about money. The common theme was about motivation, to motivate the congregations, the assemblies, the hearers, to continue to press on and pursue growth in their faith. Well, it's no surprise that the common theme would be motivation, because God himself, through his word, has done the very same thing. Motivation to not lose heart, to continue to press forward, to daily overcome, to start flapping your lips about the gospel to everyone around you and looking for those opportunities. God has constantly motivated his people to do these things behind them. He's told them, you can. You know, the last words that Moses delivered to the people of Israel, to Joshua, in Deuteronomy 31:6 was, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, the nations that they were going to go in and conquer. Don't be afraid of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you and never forsake you. So the motivation on God's part has always been there for his people. You can, right? I will be with you. I will go before you in those battles. You know, but those people living through that at that time were receiving, you know, like a small part of the puzzle. They didn't have the complete picture of what God was doing. They didn't have the indwelling of his spirit in them and the complete package of information. But he was elevating man's knowledge and bringing them slowly and progressively to the times that we are living in right now, right? Colossians, if you want to turn there, Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 29. Colossians 1, 25 through 29 says this, Paul speaking, and he says, of this church I was made a minister, the Lord's church, made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he goes on to say that we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. Nothing more needed, nothing lacking. It's possible that we can be made complete in him and have been. The new creation is already made. It's like a suit of armor that's already been formed, and now we're putting that on, right? We are becoming that and being transformed into that. But the way that God revealed his plan, and he is the perfect teacher, right? He's the perfect communicator. You know, we probably would have, well, why didn't God just dump all this on Adam? Right? Why didn't he just reveal it all at that time? It wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked. You know, Adam was fleshly, as Scripture says, and wouldn't handle. But you see that the progressive revelation is for us, men. It's today. We have it. Nothing more needed. Put it on. Go forward, diligence. All in, fully applying ourselves into it. And it's the small things day in and day out. I appreciate Mr. Mark Miller's message several years ago, or can remember. The small things, day in and day out. The time in prayer, reading, the sharing with the children, the Mr. Hostetter, the family time with the kids, the Bible lessons, the reading, the advice, learning to build those relationships with our young men, that they are willing to come to us and talk about things openly, you know, that they're running into, and to have that relationship. Well, maybe, son, I don't have the answer for this one, but let's pray about this together and continue to search the Word and seek counsel and understanding through from, you know, so it's doing all of those small things day in and day out. It's not one big, large, pow, and we're done. It's a small progressive growth in Christ. As Peter's talking about here, putting on these attributes, adding to and increasing day in and day out. And it'll be a lifelong increasing that takes place until we are, you know, we can never stop increasing. There's always something more that we can add to ourselves. You know, Hebrews chapter 1, if you want to flip there, in the same context of Colossians chapter 1 here, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions of the puzzle, right? In many ways. So different portions for different people, because they could only maybe consume those portions at that particular time. God knew what was necessary. His timing is impeccable, right? So those portions were necessary at that time. What about us today? He's created a people that are able to consume all of this, right? And so in the way that he has developed his word to bring about people who can now be complete, not lacking anything, to fulfill the mission of spreading the gospel and bringing those to Christ. But God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. So again, the way God has delivered progressively his plan. But what Peter tells us here in 2 Peter 1 is that by God's divine power, we've received all of this and everything that we need for life and godliness. You don't need anything else. God, you know, and God has displayed that power, as I've already said. He's demonstrated great patience. Great patience. You know, number one, by getting the history arranged in such a way that we can see back through the Scripture. I mean, the revelations that Nebuchadnezzar, the dreams, the fulfillment of the dreams that Daniel was given, and we see that nation was going to rise, and you know, the Babylonians, the Syrians, the Greeks, the Persians, the Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, and we can see the, you know, that God laid down this dream in a pagan man's mind to see the statue to reveal, yeah, those are going to be kingdoms, and you know, that's going to be beneficial for my guys back here in, you know, 2021. You know, you might not see that, but that's going to pay off dividends later on. And so God's progressively done this. He positioned the nations throughout history in such a way that we can see his divine power. He developed the languages. He inspired the words written and preserved. He saw to the spreading of the word, the organization of the church through the apostles, laying down that foundation, you know, for the likes of us living today in these final hours. You know, you have the active and living and complete word of God in our hands this morning and in our hearts if we're in Christ. Are you not impressed with that? As Benoit was saying last night, are you not impressed? I think that comes from a movie line somewhere. I'm not sure where, but let's go to Isaiah here and take a look at a few things. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 14. Isaiah 43, 14. I want to read down through here a bit. Bear with me, if you will. I'm going to read down through verse 21. So Isaiah 43, 14. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and will bring them down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans, into the ships in which they rejoice. He's going to bring them down. They're going to fall. Right? I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Now, when I see that, yeah, it's the Word of God delivered for them at that time, but prophetically, he's the Creator of Israel. Well, who's Israel? That's us, right? Those of the Abrahamic faith, those of faith are us. He's the Creator of Israel. And moving on here, verse 16, thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea, and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse and the army and the mighty man, and they'll lay down together and not rise up. I mean, what happened to Pharaoh and his minions? They were laid down, didn't get back up. They have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the past. So if we see ourselves as the what God has created, he's through his strength and our resolve and our diligence, we're putting to death those Amorites and Hittites and all the ites. I appreciate Mr. Doty, you know, bringing those out in many of his messages. We're putting to death those things. He's the conqueror for us. He's the one doing that. But it's our diligence and participation and fellowship with him through it that's achieving that. And he's going to lay him down. And they're not going to get back up. Did Pharaoh come up out of there and bother the Israelites again? No. Nope. He's fish food. Never to rise again. He laid them out. God did that. And don't call to mind those former things. Don't call to mind your past. Well, you know, I could have done things a lot better there. Now, is there really any value in doing that? I mean, there may be. But we take who we are in the moment and build upon that, not looking back to our former ways of life, right? And that's what he's speaking about here. In verse 18, don't call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me, and the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. Springs of living water that spring forth, you know, come right, that Jesus spoke about, that, you know, those who partake of this water will not thirst again, right? And that's us. We know that that's the indwelling, the Spirit of Christ in us. You know, no more wilderness or parched land. We are flourishing. We have everything we need for growth, right? And verse 21, finish out. The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. That's us, brethren. Do we truly understand that God has done these things for us? And Peter's encouraging, take that heart, take that faith, and add to it, increase upon it, moral excellence. It's what's needed. Who's going to listen to our message if we aren't morally excellent? You know, we have to narrow our, get rid of those worldly influences and narrow our view of where we're headed. He's created a road, and I want to deal with that a little bit more in verse 19. I will even make a road in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. You know, God has bulldozed a flat, straight path and built a solid base, paved it perfectly with the smooth spiritual pavement on the highway of faith. It'll never be weathered, and it doesn't need resurfacing. That highway, I mean, many of you know that my family and I were blessed to be able to do some traveling this summer and took a trip out west, 5,000 and some mile, to see a lot of the sights. You know, the pinnacle of the trip was we were able to be at the family camp in Montana over the Labor Day weekend. But, you know, we went up into the mountains and we saw all the beauty. But, you know, before I left, I went all over, pretty much rebuilt our Honda minivan, the whole front end suspension, everything, rebuilt it. I checked the brakes and thought I had enough meat on the front brakes. I can make it, no problem. No, those mountain roads chewed those pads up. Curvy, you know, and 25 mile an hour on those steep grades and the switchbacks, you know, and I'm Googling. My eyes are all over the places. I'm watching and, you know, looking at the beauty that God has displayed, you know, and that's the result of, you know, all that you see out there is the result of a judgment on sinful man. You know, the flood created all that, you know, the judgment of sinful man. But it's still beautiful. Imagine what it would have been like prior. But you know, those roads are windy and crooked. And as I'm driving around and I'm thinking about this illustration for today, you know, to use at men's camp, that, you know, the scripture tells us that the road of the wicked is crooked and windy, and they fall into their own pit. You know, they dig their own hole and they fall into it, you know. But God's road is super highway, 5 lanes, 6 lanes, endless lanes, flat. Not a bump or nothing, you know, you just flat. He's created that. It's the highway of truth and faith that he's laid down. You know, and, you know, Matthew chapter 7, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus uses three different contrasting examples to explain that every last person of adult reasoning capacity has to make a choice. And he uses the illustrations of the narrow and wide gate. He uses the good and bad tree. He uses the rock and sand foundation. Right? Foundation. And all of those, you know, are to get us to see that there's a choice to be made. What highway are we going to be on? What road are we on? Are we on the highway of faith or on the crooked and windy road full of potholes, wickedness? Road of wickedness, right? And it, you know, just in case it's the first time that you heard about those, the narrow way, the good tree, and the foundation, the rock and sand, you know, all of those three examples have one same thing in common, and that's a choice to be made. It's a choice to be made. But it's not a one-and-done choice, meaning that you don't have to apply any personal effort thereafter. But it's actually, you know, that the choice of faith that needs to be made for each individual. Which road you're going to be on, which gate are you going to go through, you know, which tree are you going to be, good, bad, producing good, bad fruit. What are you building on, sand or rock, you know, on the truth of Christ? And there's no cruise control. There's no cruise control necessarily on the highway of faith. It's not a sit back and hands off, you know, Tesla self-navigating vehicle, which, I don't know, is Mike here this morning? Mike Schischler? Somebody, he got rear-ended by a brand new $100,000 Tesla. And he messed his truck up and everything. And he was telling me on the police report that it was reported that that vehicle was in autonomous mode. So there you go. You know, that's how it was filed. But that's not the way it is on God's highway. I mean, he's provided the flat road and the straight path But it's not cruise control for us. We have to be diligent to keep the wheel straight, focused on Him, be adding to our faith and the moral excellence that's required. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling, right? Are we not told? You know? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11 here. I want to kind of wrap up with this. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 10 through 16. Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time with His hand the remnant of His people who will remain from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. He will lift up a standard for the nations and will assemble the banished ones of Israel and will gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Then the jealousy of Ephraim will depart, and those who harass Judah will be cut off. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, and Judah will not harass Ephraim. He's a united kingdom again, a people chosen and created for His purposes, who will not have to deal with the flesh any longer. It'll be cut off and buried, and there will be no more jealousy. And reading on here in verse 14, they will swoop down on the slopes of the Philistine on the west. Together they will plunder the sons of the east. They will possess Edom and Moab, and the sons of Ammon will be subject to them. The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the Red Sea, the tongue of the Sea of Egypt, and He will wave His hand over the river with a scorching wind, and He will strike it into seven streams and make men walk over dry shod. And there will be, a highway from Assyria for the remnant of His people who will be left, just as there was for Israel in the day that they came up out of the land of Egypt. This is prophetically speaking about us coming out of the domain of darkness and the sinful slavery that Satan had us in the bondage. God has brought us forth and created this highway, He says, the remnant of people who will be left. Make them walk over dry land, and there will be a highway from Assyria. Isaiah 35, to couple this. The whole chapter is worthy of being read, and for time's sake, I won't do that, but I think hopefully I've progressively brought our minds to this point. If we go to verse 8, Isaiah 35, verse 8, it says, "And a highway will be there, a roadway, and it'll be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way." What way? Will walk clean and holy. It'll be for them. "And the fools will not wander around on it." Brothers, that's where we are. We have that potential through the power that He has laid down and given us. And by faith, let's go back to 1 Peter to tie this all together. Well, our job is to be diligent, all in, every day, every morning, moment. You know, I work a job. I work a 40 to 60 hour work week as well, with family and kids, and I don't have time for myself, and that's fine. I enjoy it. I love it. I couldn't ask for anything better. I love that time and God's provided for us in many ways, and I know, the work area and the men that you encounter there, but that doesn't get me down. That's a challenge. It's fun. It's fun to be the Christ-like attitude around the workplace and to shine for Him and to bring Him glory through all that. But Peter here in 1 Peter is telling us that we're on this highway. Keep the gas tank full. Keep the gas tank full. Top it off. Put the pedal down. You know, I wish I would have had a continual full tank of gas as we drove around. I mean, I don't know how many tanks of gas that we burned through. Lord willing, and we were blessed. We saved and penny pinched for about 3 or 4 years in order to do this trip, and so we knew that we had enough to get through. So fill her up, whatever. We were thankful to have the money to be able to do that. So I didn't count tanks of gas, and I don't even know what we got miles per gallon. You know, it was somewhere between 22 to 24, I think, somewhere in that area. But God, the spiritual tank, we have everything we need, and it doesn't go dry. unless we poke a hole in the bottom and let it drain out and not continue to have it full. So Peter's talking about here, what we need to do is to maintain that tank full with all diligence, applying moral excellence, more knowledge, the self-control necessary, the perseverance to push through, the godliness, God-likeness to have, and the brotherly kindness. I appreciate you, men. You know, I've said, and it almost brings me to tears, and I won't let it do it this morning, but many of you men here through the years have helped me in your faith to build mine, to see others doing it. You know, isn't that what the assembly is for? Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some, as was spoken to those in Corinth, you know, because it's necessary for one another, for us to be together and to build upon one another, to encourage one another to love and good deeds and to continue to do those good works that have been laid down for us to do. But adding to your godliness, brotherly kindness, and overall the greatest of all these is love. You know, having that same love, the fervent love that God had for you and I. But the highway's laid down, brothers. That's what I kind of want to bring out. I didn't want to really spend my time. We can do our own homework on each one of these qualities, the moral excellence, the perseverance, the brotherly kindness. Break those down. Make that a daily checklist. Build upon those. That's why it's there. You know, scheduling is the best thing. You need to get something done. You go to the grocery store, you make a list. Some of us, you know, if you don't, I try and make a Home Depot list. How many have went back for plumbing fittings 5 or 7 times? Right on. Yes, sir. You know it. I've done it. And, you know, it's things like that. You make a list and before you leave, you check it twice and, you know, and all that stuff. This is what this is provided for. God's given us the list we can check and work on every day. So my encouragement, men, is to continue on, persevere, and add to these qualities because you will never stumble. You're not going to trip up on the highway of holiness because it's laid flat if we were putting these qualities on. Appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.